This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
They're going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here for the Full Time Report. And Atlanta United are losers today, 3-2. This one to Charlotte FC at home. A losing streak at home extends. And quite frankly, all of the goodwill built up from a midweek victory, a showing that was the best side that we have seen all season in Miami. That is all gone now, Garrett, after the fifth straight home loss here at the Benz.
Yeah, it's a club record for losses in a season at home for Atlanta United now, and it's five in a row, and it's been a brutal stretch for Atlanta United. And look, we thought that game up in Nashville was able to kind of spark something, and then of course they turn it around and they go and have the fantastic result down there in Fort Lauderdale, but it just doesn't come all around, and they're not getting enough goals. They're not putting themselves in good positions, and at the end of it all, they're not connecting, and it's just a struggle, and it's a question, and I'm very frustrated.
Yeah, there's not a lot of answers, and that's because, quite simply, as you stated, they're not getting goals despite creating the chances, and that's shown even further in our statistics, and that statistical recap is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. They outshot Charlotte 19-10. Shots on goal were 5-4, but here's where the real issue comes, Garrett, and that's the XG. Charlotte's XG was just 0.88, yet they got three goals from those chances. And for Atlanta United, 1.83 on the XG. And you did outperform your XG, I guess. You got to two. But there were quite a few moments when you look at back at this game and you said, that could have been a goal, this could have been a goal, could have been up there. And you convert some of those early chances. You probably take Charlotte out of the game because you do eventually get the – look, you do go in front. After 35 minutes with Almada's goal, that was grabbed back, unfortunately, by an unlucky bounce, a mistake, and that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. But there were situations early on. Sabaloob Janidze intercepts a pass. It's a bad pass. Now, here's the thing that's frustrating, Garrett. That's the exact same pass that we had.
Yeah.
And the opposing team took advantage. This was a pass into no man's land. It wasn't anywhere close to the goalie, and Sabo ran right onto it and had a free run at it. That's the exact same pass from earlier in the season that cost Atlanta United a match. Yep. And here, Sabo's not able to wrap his foot around it properly. It goes out for a goal kick. You don't benefit from what should be a debilitating mistake from the opposing team. That's what's so frustrating in these moments.
Yeah, and look, and you have far too much invested in this attack to have opportunities like that go by the wayside, and it happens to happen far too often for Atlanta United. Just consistently speaking, I mean, it's been, we can talk all we want, we can scream until we're blue in the face about the expected goals.
I turn red when I scream. I don't know about you.
I turn red when I do any physical activity. But
oh, right.
I mean, it is absolutely brutal because I know how good this team is. It can be. We've seen how good it can be, and they're finally rounding back into form, or so we thought, and
well, I've spoken to a couple of guys around the league, Garrett, and I think the point that you're making out of frustration is this. we don't feel that our expectations for this team were too much. And there's a lot of discussion around the league that's the same way. They look at this roster. It is full of top talent. And for whatever reason, it is not coming together. But I don't think that's on us for having the wrong approach to the season, for feeling like this could be one of the better offenses in the MLS, for feeling like they could compete for a top four seed. All that obviously is gone now. But that's not a mistake. I don't think we read it wrong coming into the season. I think the expectations were right, and the team simply has not lived up to them.
No.
And that's what's so frustrating. If you go into a season, I don't want to nitpick on any other teams, but if you go into a season knowing your team has a ceiling and this is it, then maybe you approach it differently. Maybe you react emotionally differently. But that is not what fans of the Five Stripes feel. And that's why it is so frustrating and such a really a knuckle-cracking season, is you just can't seem to straighten it out. We thought maybe Wednesday was the start of it, but certainly after today's showing, certainly not. Garrett, I know we don't necessarily have a ton of bright spots here, but at some point we have to select a man of the match today. So without further ado, who you got?
I'm going to go with John De Silva. He comes in around the 60th minute, plays this most of the second half. And you could see a little jolt of life when he did come in. He came in alongside Yorgos Giakoumakis, and I was expecting Yorgos to be the guy who really gives the team a shot in the arm. But no, John De Silva comes in, hits a curler, beautiful shot, stunner of a shot. I thought that was potentially going to be the galvanizing thing in the second half to really give this team some life. It wasn't. They were able to get a couple more shots in, but none really on target in the spot that in a really threatening way. But Johnny Silva came in. He had the great performance, and that was the biggest thing for me.
We have Gonzalo Pineda down at the podium. Let's go ahead and hear what the manager of Atlanta United has to say.
How well the team played on Wednesday, both offensively and defensively. How would you compare today to that, and what went wrong tonight?
Well, different type of games. Number one, I would say that in some ways, the performance was similar, like outplaying the opponent, creating way more chances than the opponent. 9 in my count, high-value chances versus 4. Super high-value chances, some of them. Sava's chance in the first half, I think, should have been a clear goal. But when you're not clinical and you don't score the goals that you create, you give some momentum to the opponent. The last game against Miami, we were clinical in the key moments. And then I felt like the first goal, an own goal, out of nothing, almost like you are tying a game that you should be winning probably for more goals. And then suddenly the opponent has a bit more momentum. The start of second half wasn't great for us. I think we were lacking a little bit of intensity. But after that, we create, in my opinion, 2 or 3 high-value chances that we didn't capitalize. So it's about scoring goals. I mean, we are playing good. We are getting into the final third, which is not easy against teams that, you know, drop their lines and defend with 10, 11 players inside their own third. And we're creating even there. But when you don't score the goals, the key moments, you suffer.
You and I have had, and others have had this conversation, you know, many times now. Are you just concerned that for whatever reason the team just can't, I don't know, just doesn't respond as positively as you'd like to what y'all are trying to coach and teach?
No.
You've said before that you're not here to defend your job. You're defending Atlanta United, the identity, the philosophy, and all that. How do you move forward, though, after this fifth straight loss at home? Like, what's the plan moving forward for you?
Well, number one, trying to have, you know, the team fully fit, fully ready. I think we're close, but again, we may have suffered another injury, especially on the back. I think we needed today's 3 points. I agree 100%. I think today's victory was pivotal for kind of the mentality of the team. But now we have to face some other absences for Euros, for Copa America. So we'll have to, you know, try to recoup and trying to steal some points out of the road, which I think has been also not great. But the games at home, we need to be stronger. I think when you analyze the games, It's been kind of similar story to many, many games, especially the ones at home. If you count Philadelphia, Cincinnati, now this one, I think our games that we were better, we created more chances, we had the possibility to win those games, but we didn't. And Minnesota is another one. So it's frustrating because the players are playing good, are having energy, are creating chances. Again, a different problem would be not being creating that much of chances. And then you can say, like, the players are not executing the game plan, or they are not getting the best out of themselves they are doing, but we are not being clinical. And again, when you are not clinical in these type of games, you know, you suffer because of the margins in this league are so minimum that you have to make sure that when you have this amount of dominant performances, creating double chances, high value chances, double shots, double expected goals in general, you need to capitalize those. We haven't. So again, having the number nine position settle and, you know, with full squad, give us more options too. The back line, another one that's been very inconsistent. So number one, I think we need to re-get some of those players back stable, also not limited in terms of minutes, because it's been the constant in the last few games. I have to make changes because of that. So we have to get back to that. I think once everyone is available, we have a strong team, even without we're playing good, but we just need to be better in the boxes.
I mean, do you expect to have, for instance, the number nine, it seems unsettled. Do you expect to have Yorgos Sakamakis on this team within the next few days? Is he moving forward? Do you know anything about that potential
set? Well, I'm talking only about injuries. I'm talking about, you know, Jakub was injured 2-3 times so far this year. I think one preseason, then, you know, the knee, then the hamstring. And he was limited again today in terms of minutes. 25, 30 minutes was the max, and I tried to use him as much as I could. I had in my head a very different scenario for him to come in, us winning, and then he can just enter with a little bit less pressure to score goals, and maybe he can get a few, so regaining some confidence and that. But it is what it is, and yeah, I'm talking more about you know, having available everyone. Then I can make decisions and that. But it's difficult when you don't have the full squad, you know, in key positions where we are suffering, right? The back line, the strikers, but in the middle seems to be okay, seems to be like the team is playing good. So we need to just, you know, be better in both boxes once again.
All right. Gonzalo, could you just, first of all, give a quick update on Stjan?
Well, he felt his hamstring. I don't know what extent. We'll do, of course, the evaluations needed, and we can give you an update in the next few days.
Okay, and you now have 12 days until your next game. How important is that time going to be, and what do you hope to work on during that time?
Well, we can say working as a formality, because we're losing many players too for national teams, and, you know, Noah, Caleb, Thiago, Abraham, Barthe, we already lost him, Sava. So we're losing a few players. So, of course, we need to work in a few things. We need to, you know, trying to improve, especially the work in the boxes. In general, we concede not many high-value chances, but shots from outside, own goals, I mean, it's difficult. We need to be a little bit better in those moments. And then in the final third, we need to be a little bit more clinical. The other day we scored 3 goals, today we scored 2, and we get only 3 points out of 5 goals scored. I think we need to do better. We need to do better. So a couple of those things come to my mind, but also the mentality and the mental strength of the team, I need to impact that, because, of course, that group is disappointed. That group is upset about the situation in general. I think they give their very best, but, you know, it's not enough if we don't capitalize the chances that we have.
Locker room's open. Sid, go ahead.
Gazelle, just 2 quick questions for me. First, on the own goal that was originally called no goal before VAR overturned it, did you get an explanation of why that call was overturned?
No, I prefer not to ask for explanations. No, I prefer not to.
Okay. And then, second question, what went into the decision to start Cohen tonight instead of Gazan?
Well, we felt as a coaching staff that the team that won in Miami put kind of a good energy, good vibe, good football, had some cohesion, and I prefer, you know, this kind of rule in football, you know, lineup that wins, repeats, and that, and I felt it was correct. It was just about that. I think the kid is doing very good too. Today, a tough night, conceding three goals, but, you know, I think he's doing very good, and it was just about this game. Game by game, we're trying to pick the best lineups. We felt as a staff that continuity with one lineup that won very dominant in a tough environment was important for the cohesion and the confidence and the belief of the team. And I think, again, we played similar in some ways in a very different game, a game where we were a bit more in possession, were a little bit more dominant versus the game in Miami where they were in control and we were a bit more in a lower block. Today was the opposite. And with that, we were creating high value chances that we like. So again, you can say it worked in some ways, but at the same time, you know, we lost the game.
Well, there you have it, the words of Gonzalo Pineda, and a lot to diagnose there from front to back in his commentary, and we are going to do that on the other side. It's Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. We are live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we take you through all the aspects of a 3-2 defeat. Atlanta United falls at home for the fifth straight time today to Charlotte FC. Coming right back in 5 minutes, it is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back with more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon. Waiting on Mike Conti, Jason Longshore. They'll be joining us here in a little bit. And we're going to go over and recap the match as Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC at Mercedes-Benz Stadium by a final of 3-2. And let's jump into some highlights real quick because these highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And Atlanta United, Charlotte, they got underway. Lots of early activity for Atlanta. They were very aggressive. They were giving themselves podium chances. And then Thiago Almada was rewarded, and he scores off deflection to put Atlanta up 1-0.
Saba dribbles to the edge of the 18. Cut back pass Almada, 20 yards out. Almada dribbles into the box, through traffic to Saba. Left side of the 18, his cross is blocked. To Almada, shot! Score! A beautiful team goal for Atlanta United. Finished off by Thiago Almada, who deflects it past Christian Colina to give Atlanta United the 1-0 lead.
A beautiful team goal indeed, and Atlanta United look to be in full control of this match, but that is until Charlotte gets the benefit of an own goal.
Vernon backing up as Vargas presents as a short corner option. They'll send this to the near post, flicked across the face of goal, and then a diving save to save an own goal by Cohen. Cleared by Atlanta.
But it was not saved. Atlanta United, they go to VAR and overturn the call on the field. We can talk to Jason and Mike about that here in just a little bit, but Atlanta looks a little bit out of sorts coming out of the locker room as after they go in 1-1, all knotted up. 56th minute, Liel Abada connects to put the away side up 1-1.
For Charlotte, clawed at by McCarty. He's able to advance it now to Vargas on the left wing.
Vargas now dribbling parallel to goal. Pass to Abbott at top of the arc. Shot, score. Charlotte leads 2-1.
That started the reeling for Atlanta United over the next 15 minutes or so, but we do get our first look at Yorgos Giakoumakis, who comes in for Jamal Traoré, Jay Fortune in for Dax, and Jean De Silva in for Derek Williams. They shift that formation back to the 4-2-3-1 that we've seen so much this season, but a bit of sloppy defending on the backside, and it's quickly 3-1 for Elil Abada secures his brace.
Drops it back now to Junior Urso. Fired back through to Uronen. Play now to Brant Bronica, left side of the 18. Cut back cross. Shot, score, Abada. And Charlotte is picking apart Atlanta United in the 68th minute. This match has turned into an absolute disaster.
This is the first three-goal performance for Charlotte since April 13th when they did it against a 10-man Toronto. Then bad gets worse as Steon Gregerson is re-injured and Noah Cobb has to come into this match. But Atlanta United does get a little bit of life in the 76th minute as Jean De Silva hits a stunner to cut the deficit to one.
And Jay Fortune steals it from Uhrman. It rolls to Saba. Saba coming down the right wing to the top of the 18. Played through to Fortune. His cross to Jean De Silva. Takes a touch. Shot. Score. And Atlanta United gets up off the bat with Jean De Silva's beautiful finish. Bending that around Colina to make it 3-2.
Jay Fortune is credited with the assist, but it is too little, too late, as Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC 3-2. But Abe, let's turn our attention to what Gonzalo Pineda did say when he was at the podium just now. He says they weren't clinical. The own goal he wouldn't talk about, unsurprisingly. And the center back strategy flopped. It was just a brutal run of play for Atlanta United to finish this one up in the second half. And really, I think what it all comes back to is they're just not clinical in front of goal. And I don't understand why.
Well, and quite honestly, today they weren't clinical in front of their own goal either. Laziness along the last man back, giving guys time to find and pick out a corner. Quite frankly, these are shots, and I don't know. Look, I don't know if Brad Guzan makes those saves or not. But these were not shots that rippled the side netting. These shots, both of them from Abada, were low, not even really hit hard. They were to the corner, but not the extreme corner. They didn't come anywhere close to inner post. They didn't touch side netting. Quite frankly, I do wonder if the goalie difference was made the change or made the difference today. But I think there were instances where Abada had space, and it's like, dude, one of y'all's got to step up and close down the angle and stop giving him room to take a shot. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But it does go back up front as well. It's a situation where you have got to finish your opportunities. We saw it early with Saba. We saw a couple times with Moyamba. We saw Almada. We saw Brooks Lennon. I mean, they're just putting shots wide for no reason. And maybe they're rushing a little too much. But and look, they're not the easiest touches. They're trying for a couple of really nice one-touch body moving across and different direction in the ball. And they're not easy strikes. But these guys are professional soccer players. We're not out there at Silverbacks trying to make these hits. So I expect them to do it a little bit more often than they have. But it is incredibly frustrating to see opportunity after opportunity. Also because you know eventually it's going to come back to get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you didn't go up 2-0 or 3-0 when you had the chance. And any mistake, any moment on the other end of things can totally change how the game is playing. And that's exactly what happened today. An own goal off of a corner, a ball that hits Derek Williams in the stomach, essentially, kind of rattles in. And I guess through whatever angles they had, enough to overturn it into a goal. But if you finish your chances, if you go up 3-0, 2-0 even, that's a moment that feels different.
Yeah, well, you go up 2-0 and Charlotte's not coming back. I mean, it's just that's all there is to it. I mean, they just are not set up and built in the way to come back from deficits like that. And Atlanta United, you just got to finish your opportunities. And two goals should be enough to beat a team like Charlotte, and it wasn't today. But we're going to continue this conversation here on the other side. Atlanta United does fall 3-2 to their neighbors up I-85. We will continue with this discussion right here on the Full Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full Time!
This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here. And Atlanta United falls 3-2 to Charlotte FC today. Kind of washing away, or rinsing, erasing all of the goodwill earned on Wednesday night down in Miami. Want to bring aboard Mike Conney and Jason Longshore. I guess, guys, because Garrett is obviously quite frustrated, I think pretty much, with the exception of 2,000 people in that high right corner, incredibly frustrated today at multiple aspects of what happened. Just want to open the floor to you guys and get some emotions as best you can, as much as you're willing to, with what we saw here today.
I'm just sad. I'm not frustrated. Well, I am frustrated, but I'm really more sad because this, for whatever reason, this team cannot execute consistently, and the under-execution, I think, has dragged this now to a point where you're going into a two-week break, and I think some unpleasant evaluations are going to have to be made, and I don't think it is the fault of one person. I think you win as a team, you lose as a team. You were in a tactical bind today, Jason, because, and I've seen a lot of people on the Bird app, a lot of people on Reddit, the 5-3-2 worked in Miami. Why didn't it work today? The unfortunate thing was you're playing a Charlotte team that doesn't want to have the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think it made the tactics more complicated from Atlanta's standpoint, and it may have played into Charlotte's favor a little bit. But I think what makes me the most sad is you get burned by VAR. I still don't process in determining the first goal to be a clear and obvious goal when it was ruled out on the pitch. You get burned by VAR, and the first 15 minutes or so of the second half, you mentally did not respond and answer the intensity of Charlotte. And to me, I think, unfortunately, Jason, you got to hold the players accountable for that. And we've seen that happen a couple times, more than a couple times this year, where something goes against you, bad bounce, something against the run of play, and you let down. And it happened again today. And I'm puzzled as to why it continues.
It's frustrating because the VAR decision changed the game. You can fairly say that, yeah, they scored two more goals after that. That's true. That's absolutely true. But that VAR decision changed the game. Charlotte did not have any kind of a lifeline into the game until they were gifted a goal. Josh Cohen spoke to the media in the locker room afterwards, and he hadn't seen it yet, but he felt like he got his hand to it. He cited the World Cup 2022 video that a lot of people have talked about with Japan's national team, and you can look at a video and think a ball is over the line, but that's not how physics work. That's not how spheres work. And I don't think they had a video angle. We can go on and on about that. Sadly, it's going to get washed away, although it is the number one thing that changed the game. The start of the second half, full credit to Charlotte, because they came out and they took full advantage of that gift. And they changed their setup. They pressed. This was not about tactics on the Atlanta United side. I think if anybody is trying to point to the 5-3-2 that worked and didn't work, and then it's not about tactics. It's not about the way that the shape worked out. It is about a team that did not get themselves back into the game mentally after a bad call goes against them. And the opponent changed their tactics, and you didn't respond with enough intensity. Intensity is a hard thing to quantify, but when Charlotte started getting to first to second balls, because Atlanta did that in the first half for the most part, when Charlotte started winning the second ball and they started pressing higher, Atlanta didn't have solutions to that. And ultimately, that's what changes it. You fell behind by two, and you got desperate, and you threw numbers forward, and they responded well to that, and they fought. Jay Fortune came on and was great in this, but it's not good enough because you had chances to put the game away before the VAR decision. You didn't. And then that makes it 1-1. And it is a completely different game at that point.
We've got a lot more coming back here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but want to catch up on a break, so we're going to do that right now. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, Mike Connie, and Jason Longshore here. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time, full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC 3-2 in a very frustrating match. Atlanta United drops their fifth consecutive home match. They're now six consecutive winless at this Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Jason Longshore, Mike Conti joining us here as we're trying to digest what we just witnessed the last 90 minutes. And it wasn't pretty, I'll tell you that much. And guys, I hesitate to ask this question, but I'm just going to do it. Are we looking at a mentally weak team? Is this a team? Because I understand the tactics and I understand everything. We know it physically what they're able to do, but we see consistent issues with these players where they would score a goal and then they would concede a goal 5 minutes later. They can't get out of their own heads when you have a call go against them. We've seen it time and again. We saw it last year, and we're seeing it again this year. Is this just a mentally weak team?
No, but they're not confident. And I think that's two different things. I wouldn't walk up to I wouldn't walk up to Steven Gregerson or Derek Williams or Luis Abram and say, "Hey, I think you guys are mentally weak." I don't think that would go very well for any of us. I mean, I don't think it's true. I do think, though, they suffer from a lack of confidence, and I think it's just the accumulation of body blows that unfortunately have gone against you. And you know, significant breaks have gone against Atlanta United this year. Good teams make their own breaks. You know, don't scream at me and say, "Well, you know, you're giving them excuses." No, I mean, a lot of bad breaks have gone against them. How you respond to the bad breaks is in your control. To your point, Garrett, they have not responded well to those breaks, but I think it's a product of lack of confidence. And it's something that I thought maybe had started to reverse itself, maybe not even in Miami, but maybe in Nashville. I mean, you had a couple good performances in a row. I thought it was starting to reverse itself. Then you lose to LAFC. You were hard done by a call. You come back, you beat Miami. You feel like you're getting out of it, and now you have today. So I don't know. But I do not believe this team is mentally weak. I just think they're not confident.
I don't think mentally weak's fair. I don't. I'm not even going to go to confident as much as I'm going to go to. This is a team with a different personality, and I think personality is a big part of this because this is a team that's built to control games. This is a team that's built to score a lot of goals. This is a team that is built to be better defensively than they were last year. But this is not a team that's built to sit numbers behind the ball and defend. And they're in a line of five, but that's not what they were set up to do today either. Don't get me wrong. But when you're built that way, when you're a team that is built to dominate games with the ball and with goals on the board, when you're not getting those, you don't have that second option. There are teams that can do that, and when they get goals, great, it makes it easier in the match. But if they're not coming, they can scratch, they can claw, they can fight, they can knock people over, they can take hard fouls, they can do those sorts of things. And this team isn't that. They're not built to do that. They don't have those kinds of players. And we go back to some of the conversations that we've had over these past few years where you want this team to be better and get back to being a trophy contender. The way that I think a lot of people talked about wanting that to happen was to be the highest scoring team in the league. But when you're a team that's built to be the highest scoring team, if you're not scoring goals, it's very hard to find guys who score a bunch of goals and are the guys who would kick the opponent in the face to win the game. It's two different things. It's two different mentalities. Sometimes you have to win ugly. You have to win scrappy. You have to win a fight. You have to deflect a goal in off of somebody's backside. You have to find those things. This team's not built that way. And as such, they don't have that personality. So when things are not going in their direction, they struggle at times. I think they do find their way out of it because this is a team that I would never say is not fighting. for their manager, not fighting for the club, not fighting for their fans. That's not true. The numbers back that up with how much they're running, how much they're sprinting, how much the intensive runs are, how long they fought today. But the personality in those moments where things go against them, they're not handling that. They're not built to handle that.
It is the Full-Time Report, continuing a discussion with Mike Connie and Jason Longshore on the heels of a 3-2 defeat to Charlotte FC. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $6,000. Guys, the next six or so weeks are really difficult to navigate. You've got the Olympics. You've got multiple other international call-ups. You've got transfer windows opening up. And quite frankly, you may have walked yourselves into a couple of more injuries. How does Atlanta United piece themselves together over the next 6 weeks?
I don't mean to non-answer the question, but I think it's also very important to point out every team in the league will be dealing with it.
Absolutely, too. Absolutely.
So that will not be a problem.
But not every team is third from the bottom. And this is a team that has expectations of being much closer to the playoff line.
Not every team will deal with it in the same numbers.
Right.
And that's right. The challenge of putting together a very good roster, because this is. I talked personality in the last segment, but the quality of the roster, it's very good because these players are getting called up for their national teams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to your question, Abe, you are going to have to deal with it. I mean, on top of everything else now, I mean, there seems to be a lot of smoke pointing towards a Yorgos Giakoumakis departure to Cruz Azul. I don't know if we saw the last of him today or not. Gonzalo Pineda really couldn't answer that question because it's not his call. But he was asked after the game. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at you're going to be...
You're going to be missing five, six starters, it feels
like. You're going to be Jamal Thiaré at striker with Daniel Rios backing him up and maybe both of them starting together or some kind of rotation there.
Depending on timing.
Gregersen, I'm heartened to hear that might be hamstring. I was worried that might be knee.
Mm-hmm.
You still have more than enough cover at center back at this moment. You're going to miss Saba, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
One of the, I think, questions that I wish would have been asked today, I know that there is still maybe a little bit of fitness concern about Saba, but I was surprised that he was subbed out after the Shawnee Silva goal.
I frankly didn't think he played that well today.
You
needed fresh legs.
Yeah,
and
that's
he
fair.
wasn't what he was Wednesday.
Here's where you're at. Shawnee Silva's got to play a lot better because he's going to play a lot now coming up. Edwin Mosquera's got to play a lot better because he's going to play a lot coming up. I thought you saw promise from Jay Fortune. You're going to see more of him if he stays healthy, knock on wood. You're going to need Moyamba to be consistent. You're going to need McCarty to keep drinking from that fountain of youth. I thought he played very well in Miami. I thought he was pretty decent today. You're not going to be deep. You'll be thin. You can't afford injuries, but you'll still have a competitive side. I really do believe that. It's going to be a challenge for the manager to set it up, but I don't think it's hopeless.
You're going to have to find some different ways to win because you're not going to have as much firepower. Now, remember, the Olympic break is different. But in this week, you're going to have guys away with Olympic teams. That's just for the week. They'll be back for the next match, but you're not going to have, more than likely, a Brom. I don't think Peru's Copa America squad has been announced. They've had friendlies before that, and he has been announced as part of that. You would assume that he'll be part of the Copa America squad. You already know Bartosz Szlich, who was a big miss today. He's not going to be back for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Saba's not going to be back for a little while. You're going to have to find some different ways. And the question on Yorgos Giakoumakis, for people who are not as plugged in on the Bird app, there are rumors. There are rumors from reputable sources about Cruz Azul's interest and transfer fees that are very large and potentially salaries that are very large. And the last update from Fabrizio Romano, who is probably the most tier one source when it comes to potential moves, is that the conversation has gotten down to timing of when things happen. Now, the Mexican window is not open because the Mexican window is not in, the Mexican league is not in action right now. Their next games will be the League's Cup. So there is a scenario where the move does happen, but Giakoumakis stays with Atlanta United for a while. How long a while is, we have no idea. And that's not always easy to pull off either. So, you know, we don't know where that move stands, but even if it happens, it doesn't mean it happens in the next day or two.
Right.
You know, we just don't know.
And one other footnote real quick, guys. If the numbers being reported are accurate, it would be insanely good business by the club to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just...
And it'd be good for him in terms of salary because, you know, it's these moves are tricky because they involve three sides, and you have to always keep that in mind when transfer rumors pop up. The club who wants him, the club who has him, and the player itself, and the money.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Full time! This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here. And Atlanta United falls 3-2 to Charlotte FC today. Kind of washing away, or rinsing, erasing all of the goodwill earned on Wednesday night down in Miami. Want to bring aboard Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. I guess, guys, because Garrett is obviously quite frustrated, I think pretty much with the exception of 2,000 people in that high right corner, incredibly frustrated today at multiple aspects of what happened. Just want to open the floor to you guys and get some emotions as best you can, as much as you're willing to, with what we saw here today.
I'm just sad. I'm not frustrated. Well, I am frustrated, but I'm really more sad because it's just this, for whatever reason, this team cannot execute consistently. And the under-execution, I think, has drag this now to a point where you're going into a two-week break, and I think some unpleasant evaluations are going to have to be made. And I don't think it is the fault of one person. I think you win as a team, you lose as a team. You were in a tactical bind today, Jason, because, and I've seen a lot of people on the Bird app, a lot of people on Reddit, the 5-3-2 worked in Miami. Why didn't it work today? The unfortunate thing was you're playing a Charlotte team that doesn't want to have the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think it made the tactics more complicated from Atlanta's standpoint, and it may have played into Charlotte's favor a little bit. But I think what makes me the most sad is you get burned by VAR. I still don't process in determining the first goal to be a clear and obvious goal when it was ruled out on the pitch. You get burned by VAR, and the first 15 minutes or so of the second half, you mentally did not respond and answer the intensity of Charlotte. And to me, I think, unfortunately, Jason, you got to hold the players accountable for that. And we've seen that happen a couple times, more than a couple times this year, where something goes against you, bad bounce, something against the run of play, and you let down. And it happened again today. I'm puzzled as to why it continues.
It's frustrating because the VAR decision changed the game. You can fairly say that, yeah, they scored two more goals after that. That's true. That's absolutely true. But that VAR decision changed the game. Charlotte did not have any kind of a lifeline into the game until they were gifted a goal. Josh Cohen spoke to the media in the locker room afterwards, and he hadn't seen it yet, but he felt like he got his hand to it. He cited the World Cup 2022 video that a lot of people have talked about with Japan's national team, and you can look at a video and think a ball is over the line, but that's not how physics work. That's not how spheres work. And I don't think they had a video angle. We can go on and on about that. Sadly, it's going to get washed away, although it is the number one thing that changed the game. The start of the second half, full credit to Charlotte, because they came out and they took full advantage of that gift. And they changed their setup. They pressed. This was not about tactics on the Atlanta United side. I think if anybody is trying to point to the 5-3-2 that worked and didn't work, and then it's not about tactics. It's not about the way that the shape worked out. It is about a team that did not get themselves back into the game mentally after a bad call goes against them. And the opponent changed their tactics, and you didn't respond with enough intensity. Intensity is a hard thing to quantify, but when Charlotte started getting to first to second balls, because Atlanta did that in the first half for the most part, when Charlotte started winning the second ball and they started pressing higher, Atlanta didn't have solutions to that. And ultimately, that's what changes it. You fell behind by two, and you got desperate, and you threw numbers forward, and they responded well to that, and they fought. Jay Fortune came on and was great in this, but it's not good enough because you had chances to put the game away before the VAR decision. You didn't. And then that makes it 1-1, and it is a completely different game at that point.
We've got a lot more coming back here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but want to catch up on a break, so we're going to do that right now. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, Mike Connie, and Jason Longshore here. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time. Full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC 3-2 in a very frustrating match. Atlanta United drops their fifth consecutive home match. They're now six consecutive winless at this Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Jason Longshore, Mike Conti joining us here as we're trying to digest what we just witnessed the last 90 minutes. And it wasn't pretty, I'll tell you that much. And guys, I hesitate to ask this question, but I'm just going to do it. Are we looking at a mentally weak team? Is this a team? Because I understand the tactics and I understand everything. We know physically what they're able to do, but we see consistent issues with these players where they would score a goal and then they would concede a goal 5 minutes later. They can't get out of their own heads when you have a call go against them. We've seen it time and again. We saw it last year, and we're seeing it again this year. Is this just a mentally weak team?
No, but they're not confident, and I think that's two different things. I wouldn't walk up to Steven Gregerson or Derek Williams or Louisa Brom and say, hey, I think you guys are mentally weak. I don't think that would go very well for any of us. I don't think it's true. I do think, though, they suffer from a lack of confidence, and I think it's just the accumulation of body blows that unfortunately have gone against you, and, you know, significant breaks have gone against Atlanta United this year. Good teams make their own breaks. You know, don't scream at me and say, well, you know, you're giving them excuses. No, I mean, a lot of bad breaks have gone against them. How you respond to the bad breaks is in your control. To your point, Garrett, they have not responded well to those breaks, but I think it's a product of lack of confidence. And it's something that I thought maybe had started to reverse itself, maybe not even in Miami, but maybe in Nashville. I mean, you had a couple good performances in a row. I thought it was starting to reverse itself. Then you lose to LAFC. You were hard done by a call. You come back, you beat Miami. You feel like you're getting out of it, and now you have today. So I don't know. But I do not believe this team is mentally weak. I just think they're not confident.
I don't think mentally weak's fair. I don't. I'm not even going to go to confident as much as I'm going to go to. This is a team with a different personality, and I think personality is a big part of this because this is a team that's built to control games. This is a team that's built to score a lot of goals. This is a team that is built to be better defensively than they were last year. But this is not a team that's built to sit numbers behind the ball and defend. And they're in a line of five, but that's not what they were set up to do today either. Don't get me wrong, but when you're built that way, when you're a team that is built to dominate games with the ball and with goals on the board, when you're not getting those, you don't have that second option. There are teams that can do that, and when they get goals, great, it makes it easier in the match. But if they're not coming, they can scratch, they can claw, they can fight, they can knock people over, they can take hard fouls, they can do those sorts of things. And this team isn't that. They're not built to do that. They don't have those kinds of players. And we go back to some of the conversations that we've had over these past few years where you want this team to be better and get back to being a trophy contender. The way that I think a lot of people talked about wanting that to happen was to be the highest scoring team in the league. But when you're a team that's built to be the highest scoring team, if you're not scoring goals, it's very hard to find guys who score a bunch of goals and are the guys who would kick the opponent in the face to win the game. It's two different things. It's two different mentalities. Sometimes you have to win ugly. You have to win scrappy. You have to win a fight. You have to deflect a goal in off of somebody's backside. You have to find those things. This team's not built that way. And as such, they don't have that personality. So when things are not going in their direction, they struggle at times. I think they do find their way out of it because this is a team that I would never say is not fighting for their manager, not fighting for the club, not fighting for their fans. That's not true. The numbers back that up with how much they're running, how much they're sprinting, how much the intensive runs are, how long they fought today. But the personality in those moments where things go against them, they're not handling that. They're not built to handle that.
It is the Full-Time Report continuing a discussion with Mike Connie and Jason Longshore on the heels of a 3-2 defeat to Charlotte FC. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $6,000. Guys, the next six or so weeks are really difficult to navigate. You've got the Olympics. You've got multiple other international call-ups, you've got transfer windows opening up, and quite frankly, you may have walked yourselves into a couple of more injuries. How does Atlanta United piece themselves together over the next 6 weeks?
I don't mean to non-answer the question, but I think it's also very important to point out every team in the league will be dealing with it.
Absolutely, too. Absolutely.
So that will not be a problem.
But not every team is third from the bottom, and this is a team that has expectations of being much closer to the playoff line.
Not every team will deal with it in the same numbers.
Right.
And that's right. The challenge of putting together a very good roster, because this is. I talked personality in the last segment, but the quality of the roster is very good because these players are getting called up for their national teams.
Yeah,
right. But, I mean, to your question, Abe, you are going to have to deal with it. I mean, on top of everything else now, I mean, there seems to be a lot of smoke pointing towards a Yorgos Giakoumakis departure to Cruz Azul. I don't know if we saw the last of him today or not. Gonzalo Pineda really couldn't answer that question because it's not his call. But he was asked after the game. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at you're going to be...
You're going to be missing five, six starters, it feels
you're
like.
You're going to be Jamal Thiaré at striker with Daniel Rios backing him up and maybe both of them starting together or some kind of rotation there.
Depending on timing.
Gregersen, I'm heartened to hear that might be hamstring. I was worried that might be knee. You still have more than enough cover at center back at this moment. You're going to miss Saba, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
One of the questions that I wish would have been asked today, I know that there is still maybe a little bit of fitness concern about Saba, but I was surprised that he was subbed out after the Shani Silva goal.
I frankly didn't think he played that well today.
You needed
fresh legs.
Yeah,
and
he wasn't
what he was Wednesday.
Here's where you're at. Shani Silva's got to play a lot better because he's going to play a lot now coming up. Edwin Mosquera's got to play a lot better because he's going to play a lot coming up. I thought you saw promise from Jay Fortune. You're going to see more of him if he stays healthy, knock on wood. You're going to need Moyamba to be consistent. You're going to need McCarty to keep drinking from that fountain of youth. I thought he played very well in Miami. I thought he was pretty decent today. You're not going to be deep. You'll be thin. You can't afford injuries, but you'll still have a competitive side. I really do believe that. It's going to be a challenge for the manager to set it up, but I don't think it's hopeless.
You're going to have to find some different ways to win because you're not going to have as much firepower. Now, remember, the Olympic break is different. But in this week, you're going to have guys away with Olympic teams. That's just for the week. They'll be back for the next match. But you're not going to have, more than likely, a Brahm. I don't think Peru's Copa America squad has been announced. They've had friendlies before that, and he has been announced as part of that. You would assume that he'll be part of the Copa America squad. You already know Bartosz Lisz, who was a big miss today. He's not going to be back for a little while. Mm-hmm. Saba's not going to be back for a little while. You're going to have to find some different ways. And the question on Yorgos Giakoumakis, for people who are not as plugged in on the Bird app, there are rumors. There are rumors from reputable sources about Cruz Azul's interest and transfer fees that are very large and potentially salaries that are very large. And the last update from Fabrizio Romano, who is probably the most tier one source when it comes to potential moves, is that the conversation has gotten down to timing of when things happen. Now, the Mexican window is not open because the Mexican window is not in, Mexican League is not in action right now. Their next games will be the League's Cup. So there is a scenario where the move does happen, but Giakoumakis stays with Atlanta United for a while. How long a while is, we have no idea. And that's not always easy to pull off either. So, you know, we don't know where that move stands, but even if it happens, it doesn't mean it happens in the next day or two.
Right.
You know, we just don't know.
And one other footnote real quick, guys. If the numbers being reported are accurate, it would be insanely good business by the club to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just...
And it'd be good for him in terms of salary because, you know, it's these moves are tricky because they involve three sides, and you have to always keep that in mind when transfer rumors pop up. The club who wants him, the club who has him, and the player itself. And the money has to make sense for everyone involved for it to go through. And that's where you're at right now. The rumors are, look, I mean, they're coming from the top source in terms of transfers in the world. So they are what they are at this point, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's a waiting game at this point with Yorgos Giakoumakis. But Atlanta United does fall to Charlotte FC 3-2 here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They fall to 4-8-4 in 16 matches played as we are coming up to the midpoint of the season. Up next, 13 days off, Houston Dynamo. They're going to be coming here to Mercedes-Benz on June 15th, and Atlanta United, hopefully, we'll get a positive result in that one. But we will continue this discussion here on the other side. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here as Atlanta United does fall to Charlotte FC 3-2 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Final thoughts here, Abe. I'm looking at this transfer, or not the transfer window, but the international break that's coming up. We got 2 weeks before our next matchup. Houston Dynamo will be coming to town. Next big thing is honestly, it's looking at waiting on the Yorgos Giakoumakis move, whatever the announcement happens there. Stian Gregersen, what is the announcement on that one? Sounds like it was a hamstring. Hopefully it's not serious, as we've just, the deluge of injury news on this team has been unrelenting, and Atlanta United continues to be they continue to get kind of screwed by it, unfortunately. But look, at the end of the day, like, this team is built to score goals, and they're not scoring goals at the level that they should be. They're not finishing opportunities. Sabo Lujanica had plenty of opportunities in this one. Thiago Almada had a couple of opportunities as well. And I mean, you can get in front of the goal all you want, you can talk about expected goals, but if you're not finishing the opportunities, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
Well, here's the situation, Garrett. This is a team that through 16 games now has 16 points. Yep. And they are 1 point ahead of Chicago, second from the bottom, New England a little bit further down. I think we're now at the point of the season with 13 days off or however long it is, that this is not going to be the same team when we take the field against the Houston Dynamo. I don't know what changes are going to be made. Obviously, you're dealing with a precarious timing of things with a lot of players headed out. But I don't imagine that what we saw today is what we're going to see on June 15th when they take on Houston, another game here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, an opportunity to finally, I guess, put to an end that horrific home losing streak. But yeah, I think if changes are going to be made at any point this season, now's the time to do it. And so kind of like everyone out there listening, we await word and we'll see what the club decides to do.
I understand the frustration. I share it. I've been there and I am in there with you. And look, at the end of the day, I mean, you can point to a lot of positives. I mean, John De Silva comes in here and he looks good when he played, and Thiago Almada seems like he's rounded back into form, especially after, I mean, turns in a pretty good performance today. He does have the goal in the first half. He wears the captain's armband for the second match in a row, and I think he showed some leadership. But ultimately, it's if you're not getting the results that you need to, then, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just not meant to be. And we await decisions as far as to what happens down over these next 2 weeks. We'll wait for announcements from the club as far as these injuries are concerned and everything else. So we'll keep everybody updated, and we're going to continue here on the full-time report. Well, I guess in 2 weeks' time, Houston Dynamo, we're going to be right here with you breaking it all down. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, back at the Kia Studios maybe, or right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But this is the full-time report. Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC. Brutal day. Tough day. But this has been the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the full-time report.
Full-time, full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC 3-2. In a very frustrating match, Atlanta United drops their fifth consecutive home match. They're now six consecutive winless at this Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Jason Longshore, Mike Conti joining us here as we're trying to digest what we just witnessed the last 90 minutes. And it wasn't pretty, I'll tell you that much. And guys, I hesitate to ask this question, but I'm just going to do it. Are we looking at a mentally weak team? Is this a team, because I understand the tactics and I understand everything. We know it physically what they're able to do, but we see consistent issues with these players where they would score a goal and then they would concede a goal 5 minutes later. They can't get out of their own heads when you have a call go against them. We've seen it time and again. We saw it last year, and we're seeing it again this year. Is this just a mentally weak team?
No, but they're not confident. I think that's two different things. I wouldn't walk up to... I wouldn't walk up to Steven Gregerson or Derek Williams or Luis Abram and say, hey, I think you guys are mentally weak. I don't think that would go very well for any of us. I mean, I don't think it's true. I do think, though, they suffer from a lack of confidence. And I think it's just the accumulation of body blows that unfortunately have gone against you. And, you know, significant breaks have gone against Atlanta United this year. Good teams make their own breaks. You know, don't scream at me and say, well, you know, you're giving them excuses. No, I mean, a lot of bad breaks have gone against them. How you respond to the bad breaks is in your control. To your point, Garrett, they have not responded well to those breaks, but I think it's a product of lack of confidence. And it's something that I thought maybe had started to reverse itself, maybe not even in Miami, but maybe in Nashville. I mean, he had a couple good performances in a row. I thought it was starting to reverse itself. Then you lose to LAFC. You were hard done by a call. You come back, you beat Miami. You feel like you're getting out of it, and now you have today. So I don't know. But I do not believe this team is mentally weak. I just think they're not confident.
I don't think mentally weak's fair. I don't. I'm not even going to go to confident as much as I'm going to go to. This is a team with a different personality, and I think personality is a big part of this because this is a team that's built to control games. This is a team that's built to score a lot of goals. This is a team that is built to be better defensively than they were last year, but this is not a team that's built to sit numbers behind the ball and defend. And they're in a line of five, but that's not what they were set up to do today either. Don't get me wrong. But when you're built that way, when you're a team that is built to dominate games with the ball and with goals on the board, when you're not getting those, you don't have that second option. There are teams that can do that, and when they get goals, great, it makes it easier in the match. But if they're not coming, they can scratch, they can claw, they can fight, they can knock people over, they can take hard fouls, they can do those sorts of things. And this team isn't that. They're not built to do that. They don't have those kinds of players. And we go back to some of the conversations that we've had over these past few years where you want this team to be better and get back to being a trophy contender. The way that I think a lot of people talked about wanting that to happen was to be the highest scoring team in the league. But when you're a team that's built to be the highest scoring team, if you're not scoring goals, it's very hard to find guys who score a bunch of goals and are the guys who would kick the opponent in the face to win the game. It's two different things. It's two different mentalities. Sometimes you have to win ugly. You have to win scrappy. You have to win a fight. You have to deflect a goal in off of somebody's backside. You have to find those things. This team's not built that way. And as such, they don't have that personality. So when things are not going in their direction, they struggle at times. I think they do find their way out of it because this is a team that I would never say is not fighting for their manager, not fighting for the club, not fighting for their fans. That's not true. The numbers back that up with how much they're running, how much they're sprinting, how much the intensive runs are, how long they fought today. But the personality in those moments where things go against them, they're not handling that. They're not built to handle that.
It is the Full-Time Report, continuing a discussion with Mike Connie and Jason Longshore on the heels of a 3-2 defeat to Charlotte FC. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $6,000. Guys, the next six or so weeks are really difficult to navigate. You've got the Olympics. You've got multiple other international call-ups, you've got transfer windows opening up, and quite frankly, you may have walked yourselves into a couple of more injuries. How does Atlanta United piece themselves together over the next 6 weeks?
I don't mean to non-answer the question, but I think it's also very important to point out every team in the league will be dealing with it.
Absolutely, too. Absolutely.
So that will not be a problem.
But not every team is third from the bottom, and this is a team that has expectations of being much closer to the playoff line.
Not every team will deal with it in the same numbers.
Right.
And that's right. The challenge of putting together a very good roster, because this is. I talked personality in the last segment, but the quality of the roster, it's very good because these players are getting called up for their national teams.
Yeah,
right. But, I mean, to your question, Abe, you are going to have to deal with it. I mean, on top of everything else now, I mean, there seems to be a lot of smoke pointing towards a Yorgos Giakoumakis departure to Cruz Azul. I don't know if we saw the last of him today or not. Gonzalo Pineda really couldn't answer that question because it's not his call. But he was asked after the game. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at dramatic, not dramatic, but, I mean, you're going to be...
You're going to be missing five, six starters, it feels
like. You're going to be Jamal Thiaré at striker with Daniel Rios backing him up and maybe both of them starting together or some kind of rotation there.
Depending on timing.
Gregersen, I'm heartened to hear that might be hamstring. I was worried that might be knee. You still have more than enough cover at center back at this moment. You're going to miss Saba, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the I think, questions that I wish would have been asked today. I know that there is still maybe a little bit of fitness concern about Saba, but I was surprised that he was subbed out after the Shawnee Silver goal.
I frankly didn't think he played that well today.
You
needed fresh legs.
Yeah,
and he wasn't what he was Wednesday.
Here's where you're at. Shawnee Silva's got to play a lot better because mm-hmm. he's going to play a lot now coming up. Edwin Mosquera's got to play a lot better because he's going to play a lot coming up. I thought you saw promise from Jay Fortune. You're going to see more of him if he stays healthy, knock on wood. You're going to need Moyamba to be consistent. You're going to need McCarty to keep drinking from that fountain of youth. I thought he played very well in Miami. I thought he was pretty decent today. You're not going to be deep. You'll be thin. You can't afford injuries, but you'll still have a competitive side. I really do believe that. It's going to be a challenge for the manager to set it up, but I don't think it's hopeless.
You're going to have to find some different ways to win because you're not going to have as much firepower. Now, remember, the Olympic break is different. But in this week, you're going to have guys away with Olympic teams. That's just for the week. They'll be back for the next match, but you're not going to have, more than likely, a Brahm. I don't think Peru's Copa America squad has been announced. They've had friendlies before that, and he has been announced as part of that. You would assume that he'll be part of the Copa America squad. You already know Bartosz Szlich, who was a big miss today. He's not going to be back for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Saba's not going to be back for a little while. You're going to have to find some different ways. And the question on Yorgos Giakoumakis, for people who are not as plugged in on the Bird app, there are rumors. There are rumors from reputable sources about Cruz Azul's interest and transfer fees that are very large and potentially salaries that are very large. And the last update from Fabrizio Romano, who is probably the most tier one source when it comes to potential moves, is that the conversation has gotten down to timing of when things happen. Now, the Mexican window is not open because the Mexican window is not in, Mexican league is not in action right now. Their next games will be the League's Cup. So there is a scenario where the move does happen, but Giakoumakis stays with Atlanta United for a while. How long a while is, we have no idea. And that's not always easy to pull off either. So, you know, we don't know where that move stands, but even if it happens, it doesn't mean it happens in the next day or two.
Right.
You know, we just don't know.
And one other footnote real quick, guys. If the numbers being reported are accurate, it would be insanely good business by the club to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And it'd be good for him in terms of salary because, you know, it's these moves are tricky because they involve three sides, and you have to always keep that in mind when transfer rumors pop up. The club who wants him, the club who has him, and the player itself. And the money has to make sense for everyone involved for it to go through. And that's where you're at right now. The rumors are, look, I mean, they're coming from the top source in terms of transfers in the world. So they are what they are at this point, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's a waiting game at this point with Yorgos Giakoumakis. But Atlanta United does fall to Charlotte FC 3-2 here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They fall to 4-8-4 in 16 matches played as we are coming up to the midpoint of the season. Up next, 13 days off, Houston Dynamo. They're going to be coming here to Mercedes-Benz on June 15th, and Atlanta United, hopefully, we'll get a positive result in that one. But we will continue this discussion here on the other side. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here as Atlanta United does fall to Charlotte FC 3-2 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Final thoughts here, Abe. I'm looking at this transfer, or not the transfer window, but the international break that's coming up. We got 2 weeks before our next matchup. Houston Dynamo will be coming to town. Next big thing is honestly, it's looking at waiting on the Yorgos Giakoumakis move, whatever the announcement happens there. Steon Gregersen, what is the announcement on that one? Sounds like it was a hamstring. Hopefully it's not serious, as we've just, the deluge of injury news on this team has been unrelenting, and Atlanta United continues to be they continue to get kind of screwed by it, unfortunately. But look, at the end of the day, like, this team is built to score goals, and they're not scoring goals at the level that they should be. They're not finishing opportunities. Sabalu Janica had plenty of opportunities in this one. Thiago Almada had a couple of opportunities as well. And I mean, you can get in front of the goal all you want. You can talk about expected goals, but if you're not finishing the opportunities, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
Well, here's the situation, Garrett. This is a team that through 16 games now has 16 points. Yep. And they are 1 point ahead of Chicago, second from the bottom, New England a little bit further down. I think we're now at the point of the season with 13 days off or however long it is, that this is not going to be the same team when we take the field against the Houston Dynamo. I don't know what changes are going to be made. Obviously, you're dealing with a precarious timing of things with a lot of players headed out. But I don't imagine that what we saw today is what we're going to see on June 15th when they take on Houston, another game here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, an opportunity to finally, I guess, put to an end that horrific home losing streak. But yeah, I think if changes are going to be made at any point this season, now's the time to do it. And so, kind of like everyone out there listening, we await word, and we'll see what the club decides to do.
I understand the frustration. I share it. I've been there, and I am in there with you. And look, at the end of the day, I mean, you can point to a lot of positives. I mean, John De Silva comes in here, and he looks good when he played. And Thiago Almada seems like he's rounded back into form, especially after – I mean, turns in a pretty good performance today. He does have the goal in the first half. He wears the captain's armband for the second match in a row, and I think he showed some leadership. But ultimately, it's if you're not getting the results that you need to, then, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just not meant to be. And we await decisions as far as to what happens down over these next 2 weeks. We'll wait for announcements from the club as far as these injuries are concerned and everything else. So we'll keep everybody updated, and we're going to continue here on the full-time report. Well, I guess in 2 weeks' time, Houston Dynamo, we're going to be right here with you breaking it all down. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, back at the Kia Studios maybe, or right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But this is the full-time report. Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC. Brutal day. Tough day. But this has been the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the full-time report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here as Atlanta United does fall to Charlotte FC 3-2 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Final thoughts here, Abe. I'm looking at this transfer, or not the transfer window, but the international break that's coming up. We got 2 weeks before our next matchup. Houston Dynamo will be coming to town. Next big thing is honestly, it's looking at waiting on the Yorgos Giakoumakis move, whatever the announcement happens there. Steon Gregersen, what is the announcement on that one? Sounds like it was a hamstring. Hopefully it's not serious, as we've just – the deluge of injury news on this team has been unrelenting. And Atlanta United continues to be the – well, they continue to get kind of screwed by it, unfortunately. But look, at the end of the day, like, this team is built to score goals, and they're not scoring goals at the level that they should be. They're not finishing opportunities. Sabalu Janica had plenty of opportunities in this one. Thiago Almada had a couple of opportunities as well. And – I mean, you can get in front of the goal all you want. You can talk about expected goals, but if you're not finishing the opportunities, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
Well, here's the situation, Garrett. This is a team that through 16 games now has 16 points. Yep. And they are 1 point ahead of Chicago, second from the bottom, New England a little bit further down. I think we're now at the point of the season with 13 days off or however long it is, that this is not going to be the same team when we take the field against the Houston Dynamo. I don't know what changes are going to be made. Obviously, you're dealing with a precarious timing of things with a lot of players headed out. But I don't imagine that what we saw today is what we're going to see on June 15th when they take on Houston, another game here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, an opportunity to finally, I guess, put to an end that horrific home losing streak. But yeah, I think if changes are going to be made at any point this season, now's the time to do it. And so, kind of like everyone out there listening, we await word, and we'll see what the club decides to do.
I understand the frustration. I share it. I've been there, and I am in there with you. And look, at the end of the day, I mean, you can point to a lot of positives. I mean, John De Silva comes in here, and he looks good when he played. And Thiago Almada seems like he's rounded back into form, especially after – I mean, turns in a pretty good performance today. He does have the goal in the first half. He wears the captain's armband for the second match in a row, and I think he showed some leadership. But ultimately, it's if you're not getting the results that you need to, then, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just not meant to be. And we await decisions as far as to what happens down over these next 2 weeks. We'll wait for announcements from the club as far as these injuries are concerned and everything else. So we'll keep everybody updated, and we're going to continue here on the full-time report. Well, I guess in 2 weeks' time, Houston Dynamo, we're going to be right here with you breaking it all down. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, back at the Kia Studios maybe, or right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But this is the full-time report. Atlanta United falls to Charlotte FC. Brutal day. Tough day. But this has been the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the full-time report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.